Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
With InsureMyCars.ie. Get low prices and save on your car insurance today at InsureMyCars.ie.
Hello! Can anybody hear me?
Yes, I think you're coming through loud and clear.
Oh, hello! Thank you! Yeah. So, sound check! Sound check.
One, two.
Yeah, there you go. Good morning, everybody. Afternoon or evening.
Glory days. Here we go. Now, listen, here's a twist, right? Because normally when we do this, literally all that happens is we put the microphones up and then we see what comes out of your mouth.
Yes.
Or our mouth. And but this time there's a plan. Well, there is for me anyway. PJ doesn't know about it yet.
Yikes.
Because, no, the reason is because there was a story that PJ and myself discussed during the week, right? And it's very rare now, just take this in for a moment. It's very rare that PJ Gallagher ever turns around and goes, oh God, you couldn't say that on the radio.
Oh God.
I mean, literally, that man has said just about everything it's possible to say on the radio.
I'm really surprised they have a job.
It takes a lot for him to say, oh my God, no, you couldn't do that on the radio.
Yeah.
But that story came up during the week. It was medical, but fear not, it's not gory.
To be honest with you, it is kind of gory. Oh my God.
But it's more unusual, shall we say.
This happened in Vietnam, right?
I know you do.
A man was rushed into hospital with pains in his stomach, right?
Mm.
He said, have you done anything? Have you ingested anything? Has anything happened? He goes, no, I don't know. It's just really bad. Oh God. It was one of them, like, you know.
Yeah, he's acting there, by the way.
Mother God. Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, God, this pain. And they were like, well, what did you eat? Oh, honestly, I had like a bit of toast. Oh, God. And they gave him a scan.
Yeah.
And after
They
gave him a scan. And they found a live eel had somehow gotten into his bottom.
Yeah. It was a live eel up his
bottom. Full live eel.
Bottom.
Like a big, like I don't know how long, like a length of a table.
I've never seen an eel, live or otherwise.
Up his bottom. And they went, how did that get there? And he goes, well, I have literally no idea, he said. I cannot believe. And they said, yes. And that's not even what the pain in the abdomen is. The pain is, it's panicking and it's trying to eat its way out.
And
his stomach was getting bit and he was like, really, is that what it, oh fuck me, oh God, oh my, that is so sore. And they was, yeah, it's like you have no idea how I got it. No,
a live eel, because it tends to not be the kind of thing that would happen by accident.
And then they said, hold on a minute, there's a lemon in there as well.
A whole lemon.
And he went, no fucking way.
I thought you were going to say, he turned around and went, well, in fairness, it does go very well with fish.
Yeah. Well, he says, no way. And this is, yeah, there's a lemon.
Wow.
How did the lemon get in there?
And a whole lemon. Like
a whole lemon.
Wow.
And I don't know what he said. Maybe I was looking for that. Jeez, is that where it is? I don't know what he said.
Wow.
But he claims to completely without. Oh, he goes.
He didn't kind of turn around and go, come here. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe the eel was looking for the lemon. Maybe it was trying to. Followed the lemon. I don't know.
I'd say maybe I sat on the lemon and then the eel went after it and pushed it. You know. That's all I can think of, to be honest.
Yeah.
That is literally all I can think of.
It turned into quite a gore. I mean, the pain of something eating its way out of your stomach is horrific.
And honestly, the thing is about this
story is, eel up your bottom is.
Don't put anything alive anywhere in your body, please. If you're listening, this is the only sort of, community health warning we'll ever give.
Richard Gere, if you're listening, just in case. Allegedly, I know that was allegedly, you'd never do that, but I'm just saying.
And these are the stories you just go, this can't be true, it can't be. And what he thing is, he made, this is the Streisand effect. So you know the Streisand effect is, the more you try and downplay something, the worse it gets, you know.
Right.
You just let it go. Just.
Why is it called the Streisand effect?
Because Barbara Streisand had something where she, it's literally after Barbara Streisand, I can't remember what it was, but something happened and she made it so much worse by addressing it instead of just letting it go or coming clean about it.
Right, okay,
And the Streisand, so if he just had gone to hospital and says, can I have a word in private?
Yeah.
And they says, yeah, what's wrong? He says, oh, I've got a snake in the ear. And they went, you said what? I've got a nail in my shoulder. I've got a nail in my ears. And they went, what? A nail in my ear. And they went, right, here. And they'd have taken it out.
Yeah.
And he'd have gone about his life.
Yeah.
Probably antibiotics, whatever. But the fact that he said there's literally no way
this could happen. It's a medical phenomenon.
Then it became an international news story. We'd never known about the lemon. You know, and by the way, if you're into whatever you're into, you do, but please be safe. If you have a lemon, at least stick a string on it. You know, you have
Mind you, speaking of being safe, sometimes you can try and be safe, because there was that other famous story, wasn't there, of the chap who ended up with a sauce bottle. Right.
I think
Ricky Gervais tells the story. And he was, again, it was a hospital thing. They had to remove the sauce bottle. And your man's explanation was offered as that he had been shopping and he'd locked himself out of his house and he was trying to get in his window and he fell backwards and the sauce bottle that made its way into his bottom like that, he fell on it.
Which was his trousers, never did.
To be fair, unusual but potentially believable. Until they found that there was a condom on the sauce bottle. So that's you know.
And then he's like, how did that get on it? That was already in there. That's what I'd say. I'd say that was already in there.
Right.
That I always have one of them.
Just in case.
You never know. None of your fucking business. You know, that's what I'd say. None of your business. Just get it out. Just get it out.
Wow.
You
must have been like a scene from Alien, though. Like, an eel has a horrible head, doesn't it?
Eels have horrible heads.
Alien looking heads.
They are, they're awful looking yokes. They are literally sea snakes. Snakes of the sea, you know.
Exactly.
Like, you wonder, like, I mean, I never want to king shame anyone. I don't. Everybody's into some unusual.
Carry on
with some description. Yeah. You know? Mind you,
you're just going to say, though, if you were somebody who's inclined to involve yourself,
play safe, look after yourself.
Don't go for an eel. Though.
Don't go for an eel. Or at least have a lead on the eel so you can get the you know.
Yeah. Hold on to its tail or something.
Ah, the slippery old thing. I don't know.
That's true.
The thing is, now I'm thinking about this way too much.
You're overthinking.
People are into mad stuff, though. I think we were talking about this a while ago. I don't know how it came up. Jim must have brought it up. But we were talking about men
highly
who dress
unlikely
up,
I'll put that out there
men who dress
away.
Up as babies and all, and they go to those nurseries and everything.
Yeah.
And again, whatever you're into, but that one now I think is shocking unusual. Right. Now I do.
So if you had to choose between being dressed up as a baby or putting a live eel up your bottom,
I'm not joking you, I think I'd say, how long is the eel? what sort of an eel is it? And where was it caught?
Yeah.
Is it fresh, I'd say?
Exactly.
I'd say, is it a fresh eel?
Has it been in a river that's had any sort of pollution or anything?
Yeah, yeah. And they'd say, well, you know, are you serious now? You know, there's a bunch of lads in there.
Yeah, because all you got to do is put a giant Pampers on, or, you know.
Yeah, you can hang out with a bunch of middle-aged men in there. They're all rolling around the floor drinking their bottles.
Yeah.
They're being treated like babies. Or, just come in here, I'll give you an old eel. I go, right. Is there chips with it after? I think I'd say. Because I think I've made my decision.
Do I have to use the lemon?
Yeah.
That's...
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's significant as well.
I'd say, give me 40 minutes and a bit of private.
You see, I would have thought, though, the idea... Because you know where you're always whinging about fatherhood?
Well, I am. Yeah. Yeah. That's true. I think parents don't whinge enough.
Well, there you go. So... So I would have thought that maybe you'd like an opportunity to get your own back. Do you know what I mean?
As you mean.
The idea that somebody would make you a bottle and you know, change your nappy and stuff like that.
I really don't want that.
And feed you, you know, and stuff.
I really don't want that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't, you know. And as the world changes, the more sort of vanilla I think you get, you know. It's like when they said to in the office, the American office, and they said to Michael, you know, what's your kink? Like, what's your thing? You know, what are you into when it comes to the sex department? And he goes, oh, my favourite thing is a lady on her back. And I think that as you get older, you start to pull away from the adventure, you know. I always say,
it's the aches and pains, that's what it is, to be honest. It's the fact that the mobility goes, the flexibility goes.
And the desire is a suffering. You know, the way you get to a point where I always say to Jim, not because it's we're active in any way with each other or anything, but I always say to Jim, like, you get to a certain age, you have three positions, stick to them. Don't try anything new.
Right.
You know, you get into, you try new things and they're shite. You know, you end up saying to you, well, will we spice it up a bit? Never spice it up. With someone you know for a few years, you end up doing stupid, riding in the shower and all. it's all sticky and everything, and you think it's going to be slippy. It's not. Water's like super glue. I did this on stage for years, you know.
Yeah.
You half a bottle of shower gel, that's wasted now. And sometimes that stuff is expensive. And it's all gone down the drain.
Literally.
Nobody's clean.
Literally down the drain.
Yeah, and you get cramps and all because nothing's ever the right height it's supposed to be or anything. Yeah.
Exactly. So, yeah, leave that to the young folk.
Yeah.
Carry on.
Just like, you know, wear your pajamas and all that. Have an old Frenchie.
Yeah.
Imagine. I sound like a priest that comes to school. It's fine now to wear your pajamas together and have an old Frenchie, but you're not to do any of this stuff. And don't even get me started on eels. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm surprised that didn't make it into the good book. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, you know the way. Do you remember sex education in school?
It certainly would have given a whole new dimension to the loaves and the fishes. Anyway, that's for sure.
That wasn't it.
I tell you, something's a good job it didn't make it in.
Did you remember sex education in school, or did you have it at all?
I don't think we. Well, I'm going to go further and say I don't think. I'm 100% sure we didn't have it. I'd say the closest you got was probably secondary school biology, maybe.
Yeah, but that was close. And you'd have a teacher.
And literally, it was a science book with a picture. of the innards of a limp willy, the innards of the vagina
and all that, and you just have the innards, and that's how they would talk. You've just been
talking about a man who put an eel up his bottom, and then you go, I don't really want to have to say the word vagina.
Yeah, the innards of a vagina. The innards of a penis.
Yeah, of all of the words you've used over the years.
Yeah, and that's one.
We don't really want to say.
And that's because I've never used those words since the teachers kind of put that. You know, has he come in and some man with leather patches on his elbows? And, right, we're not going to spend long on this now, right?
Yes.
If I hear any laughing,
and no sniggering.
So basically, that man's penis goes up in the air, and it goes into that there. Now,
Gallagher, shut up.
Yeah. What? Who's laughing? Get out. Get out and tell your parents you're a dirty bastard. Now, everybody else, you understand? That's the end of it. Don't do it unless you're in love and you're married. And if you touch it, hair grows out of your hands and you go blind.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now, you know, it was essentially
now
just
get
that.
Out.
Out. Everybody out. Everybody out. And don't look at me ever again. Hate you all. Making me educate you about such uncomfortable things.
It's amazing that the nation continues, isn't it? It's amazing the species continues.
An entire generation grows up where they can't communicate about these things unless they're completely jarred.
Yeah.
You know, I would say I was well into my 40s before I kissed someone for the first time without...
While sober.
Yeah. I would never have to go, do you mind if I kiss you on the face? I think that was the only... have to build up the courage. Zoom out of my kiss man's face. Would that be okay if I stick my tongue around your lip area? And they'd be like, I don't even know why... long.
By the way, I just want to point out for PJ's safety that there was full consent. He wasn't taking advantage of anybody who was drunk.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
He could have been being taken advantage of.
But that's what I mean. You say, do you mind? It would be all right if I, like, you know, since we've seen each other for about 2 months now, and it's very late.
I just want to say, by the way, are you also a Smithwick's drinker? I smell Smithwick's. Do you smell Smithwick's? I think we make a very good couple.
I have to say, your breath smells lovely. It's really I can have some more of that. I'd love if you if I could get a closer smell of that breath. Oh. If that was about you.
Wow.
I know, yeah.
How did we survive?
How did the nation survive?
And prosper.
And that's it's getting the young ones now are totally different, aren't they?
Oh, completely.
The ones who are in their 20s now. Like have a totally different it's all out there and fair play to them. I wish we were like that, you know.
But the other thing is that as an old man you notice is the fact that people relate at that age, younger relate in a much more sort of the friend groups are mixed and all that sort of stuff as well. Gangs of youngfellas and gangs of girls, you know what I mean? All that. It's totally different. It's all, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's just more.
Yeah, it's not.
They're
like,
more easy in each other's
will
company.
Will you kiss me, mate?
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, which one? That fella there in the bush.
In the bush?
Yeah. Oh, tell him to stand down in the bush. I want to see his face.
Yeah.
And then he'd wave. And you're like, what age are you?
That would
36?
That would have been. Jesus Christ. You want to be careful around the gangs around PJ's way. But that would have been the thing, wouldn't it? You'd kind of it'd be a lad. You wouldn't want to be there when somebody asked out somebody on his behalf.
On his behalf, yeah. Yeah, would you ask Sandra?
Yeah, yeah. No, wait till I'm gone.
If she'd be with me.
Wait till I'm gone.
Sandra, will you not now, you fucking idiot? Wait. Later, tomorrow or something.
Yeah. No, don't do it. Yeah, don't.
No, I'll ask.
I'm going to do it when I'm at the shops.
Yeah, I'm going to go down to the shops now, right? And if give me a sign with your hand that she says no, I can just disappear and never be seen again.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll move to Poland.
I'll just literally board up the box room and I'll never come out.
Yeah, yeah, that'd be the end of that. Yeah.
You've done and dusted.
All that, yeah. And then, she says she doesn't know. And we go, what's that mean?
Hmm.
I don't know. But go back and fucking ask her what that means. And then you hear my go, you know the way you said you don't know. What does that mean? This could go on for a week or something. And then you'd ring the house and her dad answer the phone. Oh my God, you couldn't text or WhatsApp.
No, exactly.
Her dad, who is that?
This is Jim McCabe.
Is that really Jim McCabe?
No.
Who's that?
PJ.
Well, why did you say it was Jim McCabe?
Because he's a nicer fellow. I thought that you might put me through to your daughter. Could I speak to Ashley, thank you?
Oh, wow. Yeah, all this sounds shite. Yeah. What did I say? You're just about to ask her out.
So I was wondering.
And your dad, he goes, who's on the phone now? Never cross like your dad.
That's
who's
right.
That?
Yeah.
Who are you fucking talking to now? Put down the phone. It's really
yeah.
Tough.
Well, yeah, especially your mum, come on. I have to phone your Auntie Teresa.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Get
off
still
the phone.
On the phone. This is bloody ridiculous. Get off the phone.
So anyway, Ashley, sorry about that.
Yeah.
My dad's drunk. I was just wondering if you would like to meet up at the shop.
If you'd like to come round for a family meal.
No. Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Anyway, see you later.
Oh, it was awful, wasn't it?
Imagine trying to explain. To young people.
To kids now.
Yeah, about what that procedure was like.
Oh, God.
They would in fact, they wouldn't even laugh. They'd be just weirdly horrified.
Yeah, and then everyone would know the next day. I heard you rang Sandra, you fucking idiot. What were you thinking? Everyone would know.
Yeah, because she'd naturally go in
she'd
and tell
say,
her mates.
That lad rang
that's
me on
it. Stupid idiot.
His elephant was on the phone locked and all as well. Oh, jeez, it was unbelievable.
Right.
Yeah.
We'll leave you to ponder that while we give you some of the best bits from during the week, some of the bits and pieces that we were chatting about on Morning Glory during the week. Enjoy it. Depending on when you're listening to this, enjoy the rest of your bank holiday weekend or the rest of your week or whatever you happen to be up to. PJ
has to go off and make a phone call.
I got you. I'm actually up to ring Sandra. I haven't spoken to her in 25 years. She was lovely.
Glory Days, the best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim. With
get low prices and save on your car insurance today at
as you know, obviously with my learned friend and colleague PJ Gallagher being such a famous celebrity, naturally, you know the way very famous celebrities get asked to be the front for campaigns and things like that. You know what I mean? They become brand ambassadors. They become the face of certain campaigns.
Yes, they do.
Sometimes it's a charity thing. Sometimes it's a commercial thing. You know, whatever it happens to be. PJ was once upon a time the face of dog shit, famously. He was the...
I was Mr. Poo.
Yeah, pick
that.
Up your poo campaign.
Yeah, I was Mr.
Brilliant. as I say, famous celebrities get asked all the time.
God.
The latest one is Demi Moore.
She has taken my place when it comes to these type of things. She's 61 now. She's flying. She looks fantastic. And she's come together with a company called Wonderbelly Antacids to champion what they call their fresh off the press picture book called An Adult's Guide to Farts. And they have this new campaign. And even though it's a tongue-in-cheek sort of a book and a look, it's about trivialising farting and pooping. So she says that, like, when you're a baby, she says pooping and farting are often very celebrated bodily functions, right? So, you know...
Celebrated?
So I was in a baby and goes, oh, you did the poo, look at you doing a little poo, your little poo, your shorts, you're just such a good functional bottom, whatever it is they say.
Right.
And, you know, oh, stinky, good boy, whatever. Oh,
yeah.
Good girl. Oh, good girl.
And, you know, potty training or whatever, all that sort of stuff. It's like, you know, they finally don't put it all over the furniture. Yeah. And you're like, aren't you?
Yeah.
Oh, yay. Look at that.
Yeah. She's saying we need to carry that on into adults.
As adults.
Yeah, she is.
If you think I'm going to give you a round of applause every time you come back from the Jackson, is this where this is going? Well done, PJ. You did the poo in the toilet again.
Well, it's not. I don't think she'd say it to make it that juvenile.
Oh, right.
But she is definitely saying we need to be totally open about it. She says they are normal bodily functions. And if you read the Adult's Guide to Farts book, you'll learn to appreciate that that's part of your physical well-being. And what's the big stink about, she says. We should be able to just address it as it happens. So I think she's kind of saying, in a way, it's like...
Well, it's a dream come true for you, surely.
I agree with you. I do think it's a good step forward. Mm. But even for me, not that I have a lot of decorum, walking into a meeting room and then going, whoa, hey, sorry about that. Normal bodily functions. Couple of houses there, lads.
That would be my only concern.
Baked beans for lunch, you know.
That would be my only concern, is that there already exists in society those kind of people who do that. You know, those
Exactly.
Hey, get a load of that. What? Hmm. Oh, wow. Look at that. You know, those kind of people. And you're like in a pub or something. You're like, oh, my God.
Exactly. And especially in the workplace and all. Imagine walking in to you and all. You know, I'm going to the toilet. So, whoa, I was saying on the air and all. Hey, Jim, I was just in the toilet there. If I was you, I'd give it a half an hour. Womp, womp. Normal bodily function. She'll be allowed to talk about it. Yeah. You know, it's not.
I mean, you're not a million miles from that currently, but I mean, yeah, there is a line
cross. There's a line. You know, I wouldn't come in and start a story here. So I was sitting on the toilet there yesterday, and I had a thought cross my mind. I hope you don't mind me saying that. It's just normal. I was just saying I was sitting down and I had a thought. I wouldn't have to go into the details. During the cacophony of sounds that was coming from my bottom, I had a sudden thought that reminded me of something that I wanted to talk about in the show.
Yeah. Demi Moore's an unusual choice to be the face of...
I was
about to say the face of arts, but that, you know what I mean? I'm sure she wouldn't want to be referred to as that. But unusual choice, I would have thought, maybe.
Yeah.
You think they might have gone the comedic route, potentially.
And they kind of haven't. The book goes that way, but she's the serious side of it, you know.
Oh.
You know.
Okay.
You know, so she's kind of saying that it should be okay. It's like, God, I couldn't
sleep
last night.
The serious side of farts, really.
Yeah, that's what they're saying. Farts, yeah. So you should be able to come in and say, sorry, I didn't sleep last night. It was literally orchestral movements of the nighttime coming out of my trumpet. And my God.
That almost worked. Orchestral manoeuvres in the dark.
Yeah, yeah. That's what it was. Yeah.
So, yeah, yeah. Sorry, bit of an OMD there.
Sorry, everybody, but the old bassoon has been acting up a bit lately.
Glory Days. It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova. With...
InsureMyCars.ie. Get low prices and save on your car insurance today at...
InsureMyCars.ie. There's a huge storm after kicking up in Germany right now. The Turks... I don't think anybody has ever questioned the kebab being Turkish, really, have they? I don't think so.
Not that I'm aware.
Yeah, so the Turks, they have a long history of being in Germany. Turkish immigrants have been there for since the 40s especially. They've been there and they, you know, have brought the kebab in, and the kebab went from Germany with Turkish immigrants around Europe, and we all go to Turkish food places, Iskander's, you know, very famous ones around Dublin especially as well. When the Turks went to the German government and said, come here, you know the way this Neapolitan pizza is protected by European law, you know, you can't make that, that's the official name, Serrano ham is protected.
Right. So in other words, they were kind of, you know, they were basically just saying, look, we want to... A bit of recognition, a bit of protection here now for intellectual property.
Exactly, yeah, the protected status. There's a few different examples. Italian buffalo mozzarella, there's another one.
Right, there you go.
Yeah, so they went, and the Germans went for the doner kebab. Like, yeah, you know. The German doner kebab. You want...
Germany claimed it.
You want Turkish protection for the German doner kebab, is what you're saying. And to say the Turks took that as a bit of a shock, or like...
Yeah.
Excuse me, sausage head.
they may or may not have used that exact language, but yeah.
Yeah, well, this is the drama. This is the dramatisation. Excuse me, sausage head. You wiener nibblers have been over here doing, you know, eating sausages and all that crack. You didn't have kebabs before we came over. And now they're saying, actually, we did, yeah.
They're claiming that they invented the kebab before.
So they're now saying that it was invented in Berlin. It was invented in Berlin in 1972. Now, I would say there's historical proof that doner kebabs have been in the Turkey and the Ottoman Empire long before 1972. I wouldn't think that's a very hard thing to prove.
Right. And is there a differentiation between doner kebab and some other type of kebab?
Well, there's the shawarma, you know. They're saying the argument seems to be, no, you had shawarma, all right. Yeah, that was a thing. But you know the way you turned it? Vertical and all. That was Germans. And the Turks. yeah. are not taking this well, nor should they take it well. Yeah. They're quite upset by it. They're saying...
This would be like us turning around and going, well, excuse me, what about the Irish? We had an Abercrombabra there just on O'Connell Bridge for years.
Years, yeah. I think you'll find Turkish people might like it. But we invented it.
Well, yeah, there you go. You know, I mean, I've never seen anybody Turkish in it, but yeah. I'm just saying, many a Saturday night I remember in my youth.
Yeah.
Just there in Westmoreland Street or whatever it was, Delir Street, whatever.
Next thing, you did bag of chips and all. I suppose you're saying chips are Turkish as well, are you? Cheeky.
So there's a row now who's the origins of the doner kebab?
Who owns it? And like you were saying, making these comparisons, I mean, you have to give them the kebab for the love of God. There's no way. It was created that the first person they say was Kadir Norman, who put meat, the first person to put meat in flatbread, you know, the way it is served as a doner kebab today, was a guy called Kadir Norman, 1972. He is the man who invented the version of the doner so loved in Germany. Therefore, sorry Turkey, even though you had sliced lamb stuck off a pole put into your version of bread, our kebabs are the official ones. You're not getting it. Yeah. It seems ridiculous.
Didn't we do a story like this the other day? Oh, yeah. It was when we were talking about those people who say, you know, they hear about an invention.
And they say it's them.
Sure, I thought of that years ago.
Yes, that's my thing. You're like, but you have never done it. You've just thought about it.
I remember a time I had a bit of flatbread and I thought, do you know what I must do? I should put some lamb's meat in there.
Yeah, so when you did it, it was actually I already invented it. You didn't do it. You didn't.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Have
it's
a sausage and move on.
I saw some lad from Mullingar going over to London and all, asking for a cuddle and a pint. Traditional dabbling. Oh, yeah. The dabbling cuddle invented in London. You'd be like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
I mean, wars have been fought about less.
Absolutely. You know? In proper order, too. But I'm just having a mad grow for a kebab.
Me too, yeah. That's all I can think about. I actually don't know where I'm going with the story. All I know now is that I want a kebab and chips.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim. With
InsureMyCars.ie. Get low prices and save on your car insurance today at InsureMyCars.ie.
And it is a terrible thing, you know, when somebody has such an inflated opinion of themselves. Right? It is such a terrible thing, you know, that... Somebody, they're so into themselves, they think they're such a big deal that they think the world revolves around them. Yesterday I got a voice message and it was from PJ's phone, but it was Kelly who was on the voice message to tell me a story that PJ Gallagher was out with his lovely Kelly, and all Kelly wanted to do was just enjoy a little drink in a fantastic pub, the Cobblestone.
We were going for the cinema. We stopped off at one pint before the cinema. Yeah,
yeah. And then that moment happened. A moment where you realise the person you're with just thinks the whole world, they're the most famous person in the world, and the whole world just revolves around them. Would you like to put it into your own words?
First of all, it's not as bad as it sounds.
Oh, it is pretty bad.
Okay, it's not great. I was chatting to Kelly in the pub. Yeah. You know, we were both sitting there and we were having a chat. And I saw from the corner of my eye the barman walking over to the table, and he had his hand out.
Yeah.
Know? He had his hand out as he walked over. And Kelly was starting. I says, give us a second there. And I stood up to shake the hand of the barman as he came over. And he picked up the glass. And I realised he wasn't coming to shake hands at all. And I had my hand out to him. And I went, I'm so sorry. I thought you were coming over to shake my hand, say hello. And he went, what? I thought you were going to say hello. And he goes, what? And I went, I thought we knew each other, or you knew me. And he goes, no, I was getting your glass. And then it was a real awkward silence. He goes, congratulations on finishing your pint. He said, and he walked off.
So just to be clear here, right? PJ Gallagher thought, oh, he's recognised me. He knows who I am. He's recognised me. It's another fan. He's come over to shake my hand. You stood up to shake his hand. All the guy wanted to do was his job and collect an empty glass.
He picked up the glass and then looked at me standing there with my hand out. He was like, huh? Yo, hello. Hello. Hello, you.
Hello, you.
Hello, you.
Yeah.
And,
you thought...
The Cobblestone.
I'm a bit of a big deal. Yeah. He probably wants to say hello to me.
Of all places, the Cobblestone.
And this guy...
Music legends every night of the week.
This guy was probably in his 20s or something, was he?
He was half my age anyway.
Yeah. Oh, really? So he nearly was in his 30s.
Yeah.
But,
and he had a Lancome t-shirt on. You know, real cool band and all.
No idea who you were.
Not a Rashers. Not a Riddlers. No idea. He must have thought this poor old man has confused me for his grandson. or something.
What a great line. Well, yeah. Congratulations on finishing your pint.
And he cheers this up in the air. Well, congratulations on finishing your pint, he says.
Yeah. Isn't it just goes to show, ladies and gentlemen, isn't it a terrible thing when somebody thinks that the whole world just revolves around them and they are just, it's a shocking thing.
I actually can't say on the radio what Kelly said because she was mortified.
I'm not surprised.
She was there, you absolute what?
Glory Days. It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova with
InsureMyCars.ie. Get low prices and save on your car insurance today at
InsureMyCars.ie. I have to say, I'll never not be impressed by the optimism of men. I will say that, you know?
Yeah.
As goes to, they asked women, what do you want to do when you retire? And women was, more than a third of women anyway, which was like the most frequent answer was, I just can't wait to spend more time with the children, especially the grandchildren. You know, I love the grandchildren. It's all the fun, none of the hard work. You know,
right.
I live for them, for the visits and getting to do it all and watching the family grow. And that was the most given answer by women.
Wow.
And a lot of lads, same amount of lads says, I can't wait because we'll be at home all day and we'll be able to be in the nude and everything. Now, this is post-retirement now. Post-retirement.
Yeah.
Oh, you'll be great. You'll be able can't wait till I don't have to be clocking in the morning so I can clock in at home, if you get what I'm saying. The old indoor camping.
Men, talking about retirement, the benefits of retirement.
Yeah, yeah.
You're saying the vast majority of them.
No, it's actually a minority, but it was the most given answer. You know what I mean? So you're talking like a third of men were saying, you know, oh yeah, when I'm retired, woo, I better start doing me stretches now. For when I'm retired.
I assume that third was the third that were planning on some form of early retirement. Were they?
Well, this is it.
I would have thought that men thinking about themselves later in life would realise it might not be the best opportunity to be.
Well, not only does the mind not want it as much, neither does the body. You know, things start to.
I'm amazed. Are you serious?
That's what they're saying, yeah. So women are like much more realistic expectations from the women, I have to say. You know,
yeah. I would have thought
enjoying time spent with the best, with your extended families.
I would have thought that the men thing would have been literally, you know, okay, obviously just the not working,
Yeah.
But I would have thought maybe their hobbies. You would have thought like, you know, whatever they were into, their fishing, their golf, their, you know, whatever, their classic cars, their.
Yeah.
But you're saying that lads.
Now,
you're right.
As well.
You're right to
there's
say that the
well.
Optimism of lads.
The optimism is incredible, isn't
yeah.
it? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, the only thing stopping me being an absolute stud is time.
Oh, go for it, yeah. And bear in mind the average age of retirement is 66. That's the average age.
Yeah.
Right? It's getting higher, unfortunately, all the time. So higher. So by the time, like, you know, I mean, you're knocking on the door now. But by the time I get to it, I mean, it'll probably be 70. And there's still lads going, you know, oh, when I'm 70, I've got plans.
Right.
Bam, 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 bam. Yeah.
They see it as like their version of what used to be a Club 1830 holiday.
That's what they say.
I'll tell you something, I'll be unstoppable. Once I hit 70, lock up your much older ladies.
I'll be like Eddie too, hands or whatever. You won't be able to stop me. Yeah.
That's a mad thing. Yeah.
So can you imagine, the disparity is incredible, isn't
it?
And they also say that when it comes to retirement, there's like 49% of men are really looking forward to it. So half, basically.
Yeah.
It's essentially half of men. Whereas only a third of women are welcoming the idea of not working at all. Only a third of women. And of course they're not looking forward to it. If every time they go through the door... You know,
that's the same third of women who are married to the third of men who are looking forward.
It's funny the way it adds up, isn't it? Every time you go through, he's there with his pants off going, guess who just retired 6 months ago? Oh, my God.
You've been listening to Glory Days, the best of Radio Nova's Morning Glory with PJ and Jim. Catch the show live weekdays 6 to 10 on FM, online at nova.ie or on the Nova app.
With insuremycars.ie, get low prices and save on your car insurance today at insuremycars.ie.